through my orgasm, drawing out my pleasure until I can't see anything but him. With a strangled groan, Alex buries himself deep and shudders.
Fuck. Can't last with you.
I press my lips to his throat, tasting his stubbled skin as he groans again. With another deep thrust, he follows my lead off the edge into his own release. It takes us a while to catch our breath. When we do, Alex presses a soft kiss to my cheek and reluctantly gets up to discard the condom. Joining me on the blanket again, he pulls me into his arms and I gladly let him wrap me up against his chest. Tears prick at the corners of my eyes when I realize that I've never felt safer. I have to swallow those tears away when I realize that this feeling won't last.
Can we sleep here? Just for a little while?
I mumble, my lips brushing lazily against his bicep.
Whatever you want.
He sighs into my neck, dragging a blanket from the couch over our naked bodies. With the steady rainfall and crackling fire creating a soothing white noise, I savor the sound of Alex's soft breath slowing as he's lulled to relaxation. And even though nothing between us is certain, it's somehow still perfect.
Chapter 18. Alex.
That's it, just like that,
I call out to the group of kids I've been assigned to work with. There are a dozen of them, and each one is a fantastic skater. When I was their age, I had promise and lots of potential, but I wasn't this skilled, not by a long shot. I arrived here 2 hours ago, and after playing a memory game to learn their names, which was mostly for my benefit since I had no hope of remembering them, we've taken to the ice.
Do it again. You,
I call out, pointing to the tall, lanky kid at center ice. Too bad I just now realized that all 10-year-old boys look the same, wearing full hockey gear that includes a face cage. One of the other coaches has added a strip of tape next to the helmets of the kids in his group with their first names. Smart. If I do this camp again next year, I'm going to steal that hack and bring a roll of duct tape with me. I had them start with the basics so I could assess their skill level. Forward and backward sizzles, hockey stops, seat cuts, and backward crossovers. But we quickly moved on to stick handling and passing drills. And after lunch, I think we'll have a scrimmage. I'm actually having way more fun than I thought I would. When I left Aspen yesterday to make the 5-hour drive down here to New York, I was regretting that I'd even volunteered to do this. Because leaving the cozy situationship she and I have been sharing this summer, 10 out of 10, do not recommend. Spending even one night away from her when we have so little time left is tricky. Still, it feels good to be on the ice. Even if I've never been to this city, never stepped foot inside this facility before, as soon as my skates hit the ice, it felt like coming home. And it feels good to give back to the next generation of hockey players. Plus, if that sexual harassment story breaks, I'll need every last bit of goodwill I can muster. It's not something I want to think about right now, though. We take a break for lunch, and then after I lace up my skates, joining the boys on the ice for an action-packed scrimmage. We're not playing with goalies, but I secretly love the fact that the quietest kid in my group has taken it upon himself to guard our net. Like he knows this isn't really a competition without some healthy defense of our goal. A kid after my own heart. When the kids finish on the ice, I push myself through some drills, pumping my legs until I'm racing across the rink, taking the corners like I'm chasing an opponent. I hear cheers and whistles as I pass the kids. They might think I'm doing this to entertain them with my speed and power, but really, I'm all too aware of how very little ice time I've gotten this summer. 20 minutes later, my heart rate is up, and I'm drenched in sweat. At the end of the day, I change in the locker room and head out, opting to shower in my hotel room before I go and meet Jackson and Nell for dinner. Since I have a few minutes before I need to leave, I grab my phone and text Aspen. How's everything going? I throw on a clean t-shirt while I wait for her to reply.
Hey, just fine. I found a paddleboard in the shed, so I gave it a try today.
Yeah? I type back. Sounds like fun.
It wasn't. Total disaster.
She adds a crying emoji face. Uh-oh. I wonder what happened, but I don't have to wait long because Aspen's next message appears.
I got to experience that freezing cold water again.
Fun, I type back with a chuckle.
How's hockey camp? She replies.
Good. I'm done for the day. Going to meet my sister and nephew now.
Have fun.
Will do, I text her. Then I pocket my phone and gather up my keys and wallet. I can't help but think how easy it is with Aspen.
Uncle Alex!
Jackson calls out when he spots me. We decided to meet at a go-kart track near my hotel, and I've just parked my car when I spot them on the sidewalk near the entrance. I jog the last few paces and lift my nephew into my arms. Surprised, I say, "You got taller."
"Yup,"
he says proudly. I greet Nell with a kiss on her cheek.
"You look well,"
she says, giving my shoulder a playful punch. "Thanks. So do you. How's life?" Nell fills me in on the latest drama with the teachers' union she's a member of as I lead them both inside, where we grab a table and purchase some tickets for the arcade. Then Jackson disappears into a maze of arcade games, and we follow, Nell watching him closely. We stand back while Jackson feeds a ticket into a game of skee ball and begins tossing the balls at the target.
"How's your summer been?"
Nell says, straightening the bill of my baseball cap.
"Staying out of trouble?"
"Yes, Mom." I roll my eyes. "It's been really chill. I've actually been hanging out with a girl named Aspen." Nell's smile widens.
"That's interesting. Is she similar to Eden?"
I snort. Aspen is basically Eden's complete opposite.
"Not at all."
Eden had trouble giving up control in most things. She had a spreadsheet for every occasion. Even letting me cook was like some big ordeal. I didn't chop the tomatoes the way she liked, or my garlic wasn't minced fine enough. Whereas Aspen just lets me do my thing and appreciates it.
"Maybe that's a good thing,"
Nell says, making a pleased sound, but I don't respond. I have no idea what the hell I was thinking telling Nell about Aspen. Aspen and I are a very temporary thing. Someone fun to distract myself with this summer. And Nell isn't likely to forget that I brought her up. With my luck, she'll be asking me about bringing Aspen home for Christmas, and by Christmas, we'll be long over. We'll be back to hockey player and assistant. What was I thinking even bringing her up? "It's not a big deal," I say. "She's just a friend." Nell's expression softens, her smile growing.
"Okay, if you say so."
I'm serious, Nell. My tone holds a warning. But my sister just smiles. "Don't think too much into it." I don't bother explaining that Aspen and I are both coming off breakups and that this is a rebound. I'm pretty sure there's a law against nature about explaining to your sibling that Aspen and I have mutually agreed to blow off steam by hooking up this summer. The only reason I brought it up is because I'd feel weird not telling anyone about Aspen. She's who I've been spending all my time with, after all. "Let's go drive some go-karts before we have dinner. You game?" I ask. Nell calls out to Jackson, and he leads the way. After a couple of laps around the track and a slice of pizza, Jackson finishes his game and jogs over to where we're standing by the windows.
"I lost. Twice,"
he says glumly. "You know how many times I've lost in my life?" He shakes his head.
"Lots."
I hoist him up onto my shoulders. "So don't sweat it, kid. Losing makes you hungry."
"But we just ate,"
he says in protest. I chuckle. "Not hungry for food, little man. Hungry for more, for competition. Hungry to improve and win."
"Oh,"
Jackson says in a knowing tone. Nell gives me a look.
"We'd better get going."
She's always been pretty strict, and I have a feeling by the time they make the drive home, it'll be long past Jackson's bedtime. I walk them out into the parking lot and over to where Nell's parked. "Pick out the SUV you want and text me," I tell her. She rolls her eyes.
"The van's still got some life in it."
"Not for you, it doesn't. I'm buying you the SUV." Last Thanksgiving, she admitted to me she liked the look of the new SUV model when I pestered her about the minivan starting to show its age. "You want the one with the built-in screens to watch movies, right, Jax?" I say, setting him on his feet beside the minivan, and he cheers.
"Yeah!"
Nell rolls her eyes.
"It's just an added expense, and believe me, he gets plenty of screen time."
It'd be a good feature to have for road trips, like when you guys drive up to Boston and see me. Right, little man?
Can you get us tickets to a game, Uncle Alex?
Of course I can. I ruffle his hair. I'll even get you into the dressing room to meet the guys.
Thanks for tonight, Nell says. Stay out of trouble, okay?
I'll do that.
Oh, and Alex, say hi to Aspen for me.
Shit. The following day flies by, coaching 10-year-olds on the ice. We have a short ceremony at the end, where each kid is presented with a puck signed by me and a certificate of completion. Tonight, I have plans to grab an early dinner with the other coaches. But first, I check my phone to see if Aspen messaged me. There's nothing from her, but a message from Tate, the Titans rookie, pops up instead. He joined the team last year. I haven't hung out with him much, but he seems cool.
Where have you been hiding this summer, big guy?
Canada.
No shit, me too. Come over and visit anytime.
Canada is a big country, moron, I type back, chuckling.
Heh, true.
He texts back. I'm crashing at Saint's place in Ottawa. You?
Hiking in Vancouver. This place is sick.
Nice, just you?
Yup, all by my lonesome. Just wanted to say don't be a stranger. We're gonna kill it this season.
Hell yeah, we are. I grin at his enthusiasm. Oh, to be young and optimistic again.
I'm going to make that points differential, my bitch.
I laugh.
You do that, rookie.
He texts back a thumbs up emoji.
See you at training camp.
See you then. I consider texting Aspen next, maybe to ask her how she's faring without me. Some taunt, perhaps, about what she's doing for dinner without her personal chef. But when I look at the time, I realize I really do need to get going. I don't want to be late meeting the other coaches. I stuff my phone in my pocket and head out to the local barbecue restaurant where we agreed to meet. While the rest of the guys order beer, I stick to water because Tate was right. Soon I'll be at training camp, and it will become glaringly obvious who spent the summer drinking beer and who spent the summer training. While I'm at dinner, my lawyer, Hugh, leaves a voicemail, but I'm in no mood to listen to it. After I pick up the check for dinner, there's some bro hugs and handshakes, and then I'm alone in my car, driving back to the hotel. I'm scheduled to stay another night and drive out in the morning, but I realize that if I leave now, I can make it back to the cabin by midnight, and I'd much rather sleep with Aspen tonight than alone in the hard hotel bed. With that decision made, I rush back to the hotel, pack my bags, and check out early. When I make it back to the lake house just before midnight, I see that the porch light's been left on. I considered surprising Aspen, but then I realized arriving after dark would probably scare the hell out of her. I didn't want her to think someone was breaking in and panic, so I called her from the road and told her I was on my way. That was around 9, and she was already yawning. "Don't wait up," I told her, but I secretly hoped that she would. But the house is dark and completely quiet when I let myself inside. I find her in my bed, curled up onto her side. Her head lifts from the pillow as I step inside the room. We've been sleeping in her room, so I'm a little surprised to find her here.
"Hey," I whisper.
"Didn't mean to wake you." Wordlessly, she reaches one hand toward me. With a grin, I strip down to my boxers and climb in behind her, pulling her into my chest. Aspen makes a sleepy, satisfied sound and relaxes, her soft curves pressing against me. Man, it feels good to just hold her. I need to brush my teeth and plug in my phone, but I'm way too comfortable to move. And knowing how few nights we have left, I stay put and just enjoy holding Aspen.
Chapter 19. Aspen. I wake up still wrapped in Alex's arms, and a smile spreads across my lips before I even open my eyes. I curled up in his bed last night, even though we've mostly been sleeping in mine. This bed smelled like him, so I climbed in to await his return. While he was away, I thought of nothing but him. I thought about the first time we had sex and how the morning after he tried to push me away. It hurt. And maybe it shouldn't, but it actually endeared me to him even more.
Alex tried to do the right thing and put the brakes on our attraction as it skidded out of control. Tried to give me an out, or at least time to think. But all I did with that time was think about how much I wanted him. His scorching hot kisses and his strong arms wrapped around me. His sweet gesture with the hot tub sealed the deal. I all but pounced on him that very same night. To be honest, this summer has been everything I could have dreamed of and more. It feels cliche to admit, but I really did need to get lost in the Canadian wilderness in order to find myself. Leaving the cabin is going to be a lot harder than I ever could have anticipated when I took the job. Who would have known that I'd grow so attached to the place, not to mention the man who came with it? Alex was only gone for 2 nights, but being alone in the middle of the wilderness seemed to make the hours tick by more slowly. I've missed him, and while I can't admit that with words without inviting all kinds of intrusive questions that I'm not ready to answer, I can show him. Turning in his arms to face him, I'm surprised to see Alex is already awake, a sleepy smile on his full mouth. Morning. I press a kiss to his throat.
Morning.
Been up long?
Not long,
he says, running his fingers through my hair.
Just a few minutes.
I nestle into the broad expanse of his chest and let out a happy sigh. Let's stay in bed all day. Alex chuckles.
I'm good with that plan, but...
I groan. Why does there have to be a but? He kisses my forehead.
What about coffee?
I concede the point, since it's a very valid one. Okay, but can we drink it in bed?
Absolutely. Give me 5 minutes. 6, tops.
He rises from the bed, dressed only in his black boxer briefs, and disappears into the hallway, while I lift on one elbow to watch his sexy retreat. Deciding a quick trip to the bathroom is in order, I climb out of bed reluctantly. After getting my hair and morning breath under control, I slip under the heavy duvet again. A minute later, Alex returns with 2 steaming mugs of coffee.
Here you go.
He hands one of the mugs to me, and I take a small sip. It's delicious. It's going to be hard going back to the real world. No one to make me coffee or cook for me. No muscular, hunky hockey player to share my bed. Don't think about it. Not yet. Alex settles in beside me, quietly sipping his coffee. I lean back against him, happy to use his shoulder as my pillow. I ask a few questions, and he fills me in on his trip to New York and his time spent with his sister and nephew. I don't want to admit it to him, but part of me has wondered if he'd just decide to stay in the States. Maybe getting back in the hockey scene would have made him homesick for hockey or his teammates. I even braced myself for a phone call saying he wasn't coming back. Instead, we kept in touch, texting throughout the days about inconsequential things. Mostly, he teased me about my inability to feed myself. It was cute.
We could make a bonfire tonight,
he says.
And maybe even go fishing, catch ourselves something for dinner.
I smile at the idea of that. I'm game. When I set my coffee mug on the nightstand, a bottle of lubricant catches my attention. It's a small bottle, half full, unscented. It isn't something we've used together. I pick it up and lift one eyebrow in his direction. You use this? Alex chuckles.
Yeah, to jerk off.
He's certainly not shy. That's a nice thought. Could I watch? He sets his coffee down next to mine and faces me on the bed.
You want to watch me?
I nod, my eager gaze locked on his. Why not? He touches his lips to mine, considering this, then strokes his fingers through my hair.
Your hand would feel better than mine, but yeah, I'll show you how I like it, if you want.
My heart rate accelerates. Okay. I breathe out the word as he kisses me again. He's already half hard, the front of his boxers tented in the sexiest way. As we lie side by side, I brush my palm against him. He deepens our kiss with a hoarse groan and tilts my face toward his. The weight of his hand rests against my throat, his thumb right beneath my chin. Everything about this man is so perfect, and spending time with him these last few weeks has meant everything to me. But I can't stop these intrusive thoughts about where we stand. He was right. Sex does complicate things. I have a sexy man, plans for a bonfire, and good food to look forward to later. Why can't I just be happy and enjoy it? Why do I constantly have to be thinking about what's next? Alex's hand slides from my throat down to my chest. He pushes my tank top out of the way and fills his palm with my breast, teasing me.
This okay?
He asks, dropping his mouth to my neck where he leaves hot, sucking kisses. Yeah, I murmur. His hand moves between my legs where he caresses me with soft touches. I arch against him and part my knees. Ugh, wow. I thought I was going to be the one pleasuring him, but Alex's skillful fingers are working me right toward the edge.
Love touching you,
he says, whispering the words against my parted lips. I push my hand inside his boxers while he flips open the cap to the bottle and drizzles some lube into his palm. Then he closes his fist around his swollen shaft and begins slowly stroking himself. It's hot as hell watching his hand move over himself, his muscled forearm bunching with the effort, the halted breath that shudders in his chest. As he strokes himself with one hand and me with the other, I can do little more than writhe beneath his touch. I bring my hand to his groin and push his boxers out of the way, then trail my fingertips down until I can cup his balls in my palm. Alex groans quietly.
That's a girl.
With a moan, I come apart, clutching his forearm between my legs and riding out the waves of pleasure. When I open my eyes, Alex is gazing down at me. I press my mouth to his. This was supposed to be about you. He kisses me quickly.
Believe me, it is. It's hot as hell watching you get off.
I curl my fist around his, needing to touch him. His chest rises with a quick breath, and I can tell he's getting close.
Oh, fuck.
He mutters, his abs tightening as my hand moves along him in a quickening pace. A few more strokes, and Alex lets go, a deep groan rumbling in his chest. When his mouth finds mine, I feel the warmth of his release on my skin.
Don't move,
he says, a little breathless. Then he moves through the bedroom, naked but completely comfortable. He returns with a soft expression and a box of tissues, which he uses to wipe the sticky globs from my stomach. I gaze up at him adoringly while he concentrates on his task of cleaning me. But I'd give anything to know what he's thinking. Chapter 20. Aspen. Sitting on the deck, I scroll absentmindedly through the apartment listings on my phone. Believe me, I've tried, but I can't ignore this task forever. I'm going to be back in the real world soon, and it's time I started acting like it. A cool breeze rustles the treetops, yet another reminder that summer is on its last legs, which means I can only enjoy the perks of freeloading at Saint's Cabin for a few more days. The apartment search was something I've been dreading ever since I packed up my old place and moved in with Eden and Holt. But there's no avoiding it now. With the extra cash I've earned from this summer gig, I might be able to afford a nice little studio after all, or at least one that's not in the shady part of town. Although it'll never be as nice as the cabin I've been calling home. The truth is, I don't love this place for the amenities, although those are absolutely a perk. I don't even love it for the views, which are unforgettable, of course. I love this place for the memories I've created here with Alex. But now's not the time for fantasy. It's time to be practical. You can do this. I sigh, making a mental note to compare the places that have utilities included in the rent. I've sent out a few inquiries and scheduled some tours for when I'm back in Boston. Luckily, there's no shortage of units available this fall, and the agents seem eager to get rid of the dead weight left from the summer. Turns out I'm not nearly as nervous about finding a place as I am about leaving this one. Almost as if he knows I'm thinking about him, Alex steps out onto the deck in a navy blue hoodie, gray sweatshorts, and bare feet. His hair is still wet from his morning shower. God, he's gorgeous. I don't think I'll ever get used to how handsome he is. He takes my breath away.
You're up early,
he says. He's carrying two cups of coffee and offers me one. Black, because he knows that's how I like it.
Thanks for getting the coffee going.
No problem, I say with a smile. I already feel 1,000 times more at ease with Alex near. I woke up before my alarm and couldn't fall back asleep. Truth is, I barely slept at all last night.
Hate when that happens.
He heaves a sigh as he sits across from me in one of the deck chairs.
I'm gonna go into town today and grab some supplies to fix the shed. Is there anything you want me to pick up for you?
I shrug, a proud grin spreading across my face. Nope, because I finished the last of my to-do list yesterday.
Well, lucky you. Little Miss Overachiever.
Alex scowls playfully, nudging my knee with the bottom of his foot.
The shed is the last job on my list. I don't know much about replacing shingles, but I did some reading up on it last night, and it doesn't look too complicated.
As he recaps his findings, I decide to memorize this moment. I take him in fully, from the dusting of dark hair along his muscular legs to his flat stomach, all the way up his sculpted chest, then to his large, calloused hands casually holding his coffee mug. I commit to memory the angle of his Adam's apple, the curve of his upper lip, his dark eyelashes surrounding his strikingly blue eyes. But it's only when I'm gazing into his eyes that a realization I should have seen coming from a mile away hits me with the force of a runaway train. I'm in love with him. Somewhere along the way, between the long days and even longer nights, I developed feelings for Alex. Despite my better judgment, I love him. I love his unfaltering kindness, his sense of humor, his talents in the kitchen and the bedroom. Not to mention those eyes and that smile. I swallow a lump in my throat. This is not the kind of realization you want to have when faced with a deadline of returning to the real world. If I plan on telling him how I feel, I have to do it, like, now. But there's no way I'm ready for that. Am I? While I debate that, my cheeks heating with my uncertainty, I realize that the new me, the post-breakup, freshly empowered Aspen, is a lot braver than I've ever been before. I chew on my lip, running through the pros and cons in my head. Pros? He might feel the same way, and we could start officially dating back in the city. We'd work out the complicated things, cough, cough, Eden, and start a life together. Cons? My throat tightens. There are so many. Like, maybe he doesn't feel the same way. My confession ruins our friendship and we never recover. I live with the shame of developing feelings for my boss's ex-boyfriend. I live with the disappointment of yet another rejection. My barely healed heart breaks into 1,000 more pieces. The list goes on and on.
And I'll probably swing by the brewery and pick up a six-pack of that grapefruit IPA we like.
When I resurface from my whirlpool of self-doubt, Alex is smiling at me, endearingly clueless to the earth-shattering revelation I've just had. He takes a sip of his coffee, now at a drinkable temperature. I gulp down my own, trying to swallow all the confessions threatening to escape my throat and ruin everything. Sounds like you've got your work cut out for you today. My voice feels tight, but sounds relatively normal given how close I am to imploding.
How about you?
I've got a report to finish for Eden, so I may get a head start on that. I may also wait until I'm back in the office and just try to enjoy these last few days before everything goes back to normal. Alex nods in agreement.
I vote for the latter. You deserve to take some time to relax.
You do too, I say with a soft smile. You've got a whole season waiting for you just around the corner.
True.
He smirks into his coffee. Ever since he got back from his trip to New York, Alex has seemed a little more excited to return to the life of a professional athlete. My own complicated feelings aside, I'm happy for him. The question falls from my lips before I can decide what I'm really asking. Have you given the season any thought?
What do you mean?
I mean, how are you feeling about it all, going back? Alex frowns, turning the question over in his head.
Kind of like what you said. Everything's just gonna go back to normal, right? Business as usual.
My heart clenches painfully. And that's a good thing?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it.
Well, that settles it, doesn't it? There's no way this man shares the same feelings for me as I do for him. He doesn't want to rock the boat and pursue things at home with me. Business as usual. The last thing I want is for everything to go back to the way it was, whereas going back to normal seems to be a top priority for him. Maybe he's just talking about hockey. Maybe I'm reading into it, looking for an excuse to do the cowardly thing and protect my heart. Maybe I haven't changed as much as I thought I did.
How about you?
Alex blinks at me, cocking his head to the side. I don't want things to go back to normal because normal means that we go back to being strangers. I don't want to lose you, Alex. I'm in love with you. I hear the words so clearly in my head, but I can't say any of that. When I open my mouth, I'm not sure what will come out. Me too. Can't wait to get back into the swing of things. I'm not sure what we talk about after that, since all my focus is devoted to the single task of not crying. Before he leaves to run errands in town, Alex pulls me into the kind of hug that is so comfortable and familiar, I almost lose it right then and there. I manage to pull away without letting a single tear fall, but not before memorizing the smell of him through his hoodie. Man and mint soap. Upstairs, I watch through the bedroom window as he climbs into his car and drives out of view down the road. And that's when the dam breaks. With stinging eyes and hiccuping sobs, I let myself fall apart. I collapse onto the bed and bury my face in his pillow. This hurts so much. Why can't he see how perfect we'd be together? I can't let Alex see me like this. And there's no way I can endure the next few days of pretending he's just my friend with benefits. With no other choice but to flee, I rise to my feet and blow my nose. Then I get to work. Tearing around the room, I toss my clothes, shoes, and toiletries into my suitcase. I know it's premature, not to mention immature, but every atom in my body is screaming at me to run. So I shove all traces of my summer stay into my suitcase, erasing any evidence that I was ever here at all. I yank the festive moose ornament from its spot on my windowsill and shove it into my purse. I gather all the spa gifts Alex got me for my birthday from their spot on the floor next to the clawfoot tub. I snatch up the book I'm still reading from the living room windowsill, the book I was planning on finishing before I left the cabin. I roll up my yoga mat on the deck and tie it haphazardly to my suitcase. Each item I pack away is accompanied by a montage of memories starring the man I fell for despite all logic. God, I'm such an idiot. He was right to push me away after that first night. Just as I'm about to roll my suitcase out the door for the very last time, I pause. I can't leave without any explanation. Alex will think something's happened to me, or worse, that he did something wrong. I don't want to explain to him that I couldn't cope with my unrequited feelings, but I need to leave him a note. Sniffling, I wipe my wet cheeks dry with the back of my hand. Once I find a scrap of paper in a kitchen drawer, I settle in to write my goodbye letter. No, that's too dramatic. It's just a note, like a gone fishing or a be back in five placard, except I won't be back. I chew on my raw lip. With an unsteady hand, I write, Alex, I decided to head back to Boston a few days early. I got a lead on an apartment I really like, and I want to see it in person before it gets snatched up by someone else. Just wanted you to know that I wasn't kidnapped or anything. Thank you for your help with the cabin this summer. I'll see you when the season starts. I know it's going to be a great one. Aspen. I lay the pen down and turn in a slow circle, trying to memorize the place that has brought me so much peace and purpose this summer, right when I needed it the most. Wearing a smile tinged with sadness, I roll my suitcase out the cabin's front door and lock up for the last time, leaving a few thousand pieces of my heart inside.
Chapter 21. Alex. You sure you don't want to come? I asked Aspen one last time as I lingered in the kitchen before heading to town. She shook her head, glancing at me over one shoulder.
That's okay. You go ahead. I'm going to finish a few things here and call my mom back.
I nodded. There was something different about her tone, but I let it go.
Okay, I won't be gone long. Text me if you need anything.
She nodded, and then I gave her a long hug. I didn't want to leave, even to drive into town for shed supplies, since we were down to our final days together. But I also needed to pick up a few bottles of wine and some more condoms to replace what I'd taken from Saint. Plus, I wanted to get Aspen something special as a gift. But what to get her? A t-shirt from a gift shop doesn't exactly scream thank you for all the tender care, all the awesome sex, all the laughs we shared this summer. But now when I return, the house is quiet. Wandering through each room, I look for Aspen. Not finding her inside, I head for the glass doors.
Babe?
I call out, peeking outside onto the deck. A bird chirps back at me, but otherwise it's silent. I take the stairs two at a time, and when I reach the master bedroom, I pause. It's empty. The bed is neatly made and all her bags are gone. A deep, stabbing feeling radiates through my chest. What the hell? I never expected Aspen to be gone when I returned. She didn't say anything about taking off, but she's left. And not just to run an errand. She's gone back to Boston without saying a damn word. Why? When I find a note from her downstairs on the kitchen island, I pick it up with shaking hands. After reading it twice, I'm still confused. I thought what we shared meant something. Yeah, it was short-term, but it was meaningful, wasn't it? Or was I just some rebound fling like she said she wanted at the beginning? I thought we've grown, turned into something that would transcend this place. We didn't talk about how it would work yet with my season or with my ex being her boss, but they weren't insurmountable things. We could have figured them out. Or so I thought. I grab my phone and consider calling her. But what will I say without sounding like an emotional mess? Or worse, a pissed off asshole? I thought I deserved way more than just some three-line see-you-later note, but I guess I was wrong. Aspen's rejection feels like being punched right in the insecurities. Sure, I lost Eden, but that was my fault. I've learned a lot about myself since our breakup. I actually am a relationship guy. And now I know I'd like nothing more than a good woman waiting for me when I get home from away games, a woman to share home-cooked meals with me, spending mornings laughing in bed and sleeping next to her all night without having to worry if she was going through my phone or planning to take a selfie with me to sell to the tabloids. But just like I always do, I managed to fuck it all up. I don't know how, but I know I did. Because Aspen's not here, and I'm alone. Again.
Chapter 22. Aspen. After I insisted I could handle move-in day by myself, Eden and Holt were determined to find another way to help. That's how I ended up with a bunch of free furnishings for my apartment, either donations from their personal collection or straight-up brand-new gifts. I squeeze against the wall on the first floor landing so the larger of my two helpers can carry up a small but hefty table that I offhandedly said I liked when I was still staying with them. Thank you, I say meekly as Holt passes by me.
You got it,
he says with a nod, disappearing up the second flight of stairs and rounding the corner to enter my new apartment. It's not a big place, but a one-bedroom with central air and a combo washer-dryer unit suits me just fine. My new full-size mattress arrived this morning, compressed into a cardboard box seemingly manageable enough for one person to move. But when I try to lift it by myself, I only end up red-faced and sore. Eden jogs down the steps, looking like an athletic wear model with her long blonde hair tied up in a high ponytail and her fit figure wrapped in comfortable but flattering workout clothes. Need a hand? She asks, and I nod with a heavy sigh. Together, we lift the box up the stairs, taking breaks along the way as needed. Propping the box against the stairway wall, I say through panting breaths, I can't thank you enough for helping me out. I just wish I'd found a place that wasn't so... So hard to get to. Eden waves the comment away with her hand as she sucks in a deep breath. Don't even... It's smart to be on an upper floor. Less chance of someone breaking in through the window, you know? As a woman, I respect it. I hadn't thought about that. I chuckle a little numbly. I've never lived on my own before, so everything feels new. There are plenty of reasons to be freaked out about living on my own, so what's one more to add to the list? By the second landing, we're laughing breathlessly at ourselves for attempting this feat.
Can I help you with that?
Holt hefts the box into his capable arms before either of us can catch our breath long enough to answer. Eden rolls her eyes, but the smile on her lips reminds me of what a good match the two of them are. Not only are they both drop-dead gorgeous, but they're also a highly intelligent pair, complementing each other in wit and work ethic. Basically, they're perfect together. My chest tightens painfully behind my oversized t-shirt. I miss Alex. A lot. Even more than I thought I would. It began on the car ride back to Boston while listening to the radio. An old country love song came on, reminding me of him and his ridiculous singing on the way back from town that one day. Then that memory brought along even more memories of my birthday, of the lake, all our shared meals, not to mention the countless physical moments from innocent cuddles to, well, all the rest of it. The truth is, in the weeks since I left the cabin, I haven't been able to stop thinking about him and our summer of bliss, try as I may to distract myself with work and the move. I've even begun to question leaving the cabin while he was out on an errand, days before we were both due to leave. It was impulsive, and thinking back, maybe I should have just talked to him, opened up and admitted everything. When everything is upstairs, I spend a few minutes shuffling some new furniture around the apartment. Once I've moved a couple of end tables in the living room and shifted a small bookshelf to the bedroom, my place starts to look a lot classier. When I rejoin them, Holt and Eden are sharing a water bottle in the kitchen. My ears perk up when I realize they're talking about the team. They've all been checking in, one by one. Everyone's on their way back from wherever the hell they went this summer. Eden says with a wry smile.
You wouldn't believe where Saint went.
The Cayman Islands,
Holt says, and we all laugh, knowing that could very well be true. The Vatican. Eden emphasizes every syllable, and my eyes go wide with disbelief. Holt chuckles, incredulous.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
I'm shocked he didn't burst into flames as soon as he set foot anywhere near a church. I say, earning a generous laugh from the couple. I'm cracking open a water bottle for myself when Eden says,
Even Alex checked in.
My hands freeze on the plastic, all the blood in my body rushing into my reddening cheeks. I guzzle down the water until the bottle is totally empty, feeling a little lightheaded. When I look back at Eden and Holt, they're both staring at me. Oh, yeah? I say, my voice cracking. I wipe some stray drops of water from my lips with the back of my hand. A totally insane thought occurs to me. Did Alex tell Eden about our summer fling? He wouldn't, would he? Eden nods.
Yeah, he texted me yesterday.
Do I jump through the window now or what? What did he say? I ask, trying my best at nonchalance. She shrugs, using air quotes.
Back in town. I don't even get a full sentence from the man these days. Friggin' typical.
Relief trickles down my spine as excitement curls in my belly. Back in town. Those three words thrum through my veins. Odd to hear the news from Eden and not from the man himself, but it makes sense. I didn't exactly leave things on the best of terms, so it's not like he'd text me about his whereabouts. Even if we're back to being strangers, I knew deep down that Alex wouldn't break my trust and tell Eden about our summer. Discretion was a major component of our arrangement. Alex is a good guy, despite Eden's grumblings. He wouldn't sabotage either of us like that. Anyway, Eden says, can we help you unload some of... She gestures vaguely around the apartment. This? I don't have a lot of stuff, but unpacking will take an embarrassing amount of time. I'm kind of a perfectionist when it comes to my stuff, as little as there is, and everything has to have its proper place. I wouldn't subject my worst enemies, let alone my friends, to that level of micromanaging. No, you've helped me enough already. I don't think I have the energy to dive back into it right now anyway. Can I order us a pizza or something? Holt and Eden exchange one of those, we're a couple so we can communicate with our eyes looks before Holt says,
That won't be necessary. We have dinner reservations later. Thanks for the offer, though.
And this is for you. Eden holds out a gift bag that clearly contains a bottle of wine. Knowing her, it's an expensive one. Consider it a housewarming gift. Are you kidding? I consider all of this a housewarming gift. Well, this is one you can drink. She shoots me a playful wink. I accept the bag with a grateful sigh. You guys are the best. Seriously, I don't know how I could have done it without both of you. After we swap sweaty hugs and promises to see each other at work on Monday, I watch them make their way down the stairs. My eyes linger on Eden's hand, which rests comfortably between Holt's shoulder blades. For the first time in a while, I let myself feel joy for them and their happiness, not just jealousy of what they share, even if it is a constant reminder of how alone I really am. My phone buzzes in my back pocket. It's my mom checking in to see if now is a good time to chat. Debating, I chew on my lip. I've kind of been avoiding her ever since the breakup. So we haven't really talked all summer, at least not in a meaningful way. I was so afraid to tell her, a wife who could only be separated from her husband by the finality of death, that my only serious relationship failed so miserably. My shoulders sag, but I know now is as good a time as any. I close the front door and latch it, navigating the war zone that is my apartment until I reach the window seat and settle in. My thumb hovers over call for a moment's hesitation. The phone rings a few times before she picks up. Hello, baby girl. Long time no chat. I smile at the nickname, suddenly feeling like a little kid all over again. If only life were that simple. Hi, Mom. How are you? Oh, you know, busy as ever. That dang kids' camp had me running around like a crazy person to no one's surprise. I finally got a membership at Joanne's to help pay for all those craft supplies, and now they won't stop sending me emails. She rambles on for a while longer, but I don't mind. Her voice is so comforting. I can't believe I waited so long to do this. Enough about me, she says with a dramatic sigh. Tell me about you. How are you? How's Dale? His name still feels like a bullet through my heart, but the pain passes faster and faster each day. I take a deep breath. Actually, there have been some pretty big changes in my life that I need to fill you in on. Are you sitting down? It takes about 30 minutes, at least 10 of which I spend crying, to explain everything to my mom. We cover the cheating, the breakup, the couch surfing, the cabin. I even tell her about Alex. Well, not everything about Alex. Certainly not about the sex. My mom has no business knowing about that time we fucked on the kitchen island. Or that other time I blew him on the deck. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure if there's a square inch on that property we didn't claim as our own sexual playground. Don't think about it, Aspen. You'll have to come see me at the new place, I say, taking in all the cardboard boxes on the floor. Once I'm more situated and settled in, it's a bit of a war zone at the moment. Well, her smile comes through, even over the phone. Considering you never once invited me up to Boston when you-know-who was still in the picture, I must say that I'm pretty happy with these life changes. You sound more like yourself than you have in years. And I would love to come and visit and let you show me the city sights. Tears prick at the corners of my eyes because I know she's right. Until recently, I was a version of myself that I didn't like. I was closed off to family and friends, preferring no contact to the reality of admitting how emotionally abusive my relationship was. I was always too busy, choosing to drown myself in work rather than accept how unhappy my life had become. Yeah, I let out a trembling sigh. I definitely feel more like myself these days, and it feels really good. That's all I've ever wanted.
You know I love you, right? Even when you wait a while to tell me everything all at once. I love you no matter what. I love you too. Now, you let me know when there's someone special in the picture, all right? Mom, I know. You don't need a man. It's just nice to have someone on your team helping you get through life in one piece. God knows I miss your father every single day. I miss him too. I cradle my phone against my cheek, wiping a stray tear away with my thumb. Will I ever have the kind of love that my parents shared? And if so, how long do I have to wait to meet him? Or have I met him already? Beneath the insecurities and regrets, a name echoes in the recesses of my healing heart. Alex Braun. Mom and I say our goodbyes with plans to make mother-daughter calls a biweekly thing. I hang up and silence wraps around me like a cashmere blanket. I finally have a moment to myself to just sit and think, so I soak in my surroundings, as messy and stressful as they are. Out the window, the afternoon sun is starting to set, casting a golden glow across my floors. It's almost as if Boston is saying, "Welcome home, Aspen." This is my place, all mine. I don't have to inconvenience anyone else ever again. I don't have to share it with anyone. Though I wouldn't mind sharing it from time to time with a certain hockey player by day, master chef by night, but I can't let myself imagine the possibilities. I've made my bed, and now I've got to lie in it. As for what could have been, I guess I'll never know.
Chapter 23, Alex. After a grueling workout off the ice, the guys and I suited up in full gear and hit the ice for another hour of drills, and then listened to Coach Wilder give us an inspirational talk. At least I think it was supposed to be an inspirational talk. But it's clear his drawn-out and very public divorce has messed with his head, because the dude was all over the place. Our team captain, Reeves, jumped in and saved the day with an encouraging story that had us all laughing. And when you're dead tired and starving, laughter can be hard to come by. But Reeves is just that kind of guy. Everyone loves him. Our first preseason game is in 6 days, and training camp is behind us. It's go time. And for the most part, I'm feeling ready for the season to begin. I told myself that this was my year, my time to shine, time to leave all the bullshit from my past behind me. But I never counted on skating into this season with a broken heart. I never meant to fall in love with Aspen. But it is what it is, and I can't help how gutted I still feel. Finding her note and realizing she was gone, that was one of the hardest days of my life. I've texted her a couple of times to say hello and see if she found a place to live. She's replied with one-word responses, or worse, the thumbs-up emoji, like she couldn't even be bothered to type out a few basic words to appease me. My somber thoughts are interrupted by Saint and Lucien, who have gotten into yet another argument about American politics. Annoyed, I decide I can't listen to them go back and forth for another second. Rising to my feet, I ball up a towel and throw it at Saint's head. "Enough! You're both idiots! Neither one of you is American, and you can't vote, so drop it!" "Someone needs to get laid," Tate says, giving me a skeptical look. I narrow my eyes at him. Saint drops the towel into the laundry hamper and sits down on the bench next to me. "Everything okay?" I haven't spoken to him much since returning, other than to say a quick thank you for offering his cabin for the summer. I've avoided him for good reason. He's a good enough friend that I'm sure he'll see right through me if I talk about my summer. The conversation is inevitable, but I'm just not ready to have it yet. "Fine." I growl out the word and finish lacing up my sneakers. Saint doesn't look convinced. "You want to go get something to eat?" "Sure," I say, since I am starving. It's only after we're seated at the diner that Saint starts in with his questioning. "What happened this summer?" I set the sticky menu down on the table and glare at him. "Nothing happened." "Come on, Braun. I know something must have happened. We've been friends for a couple of years now, right?" "I guess so." He shrugs.
which means I know you, and I know something happened.
Our waitress swings by the table and we place our orders. Both of us get the same thing, double cheeseburgers minus the buns and a side salad. Saint flirts with the waitress, who lingers at our table longer than necessary. Then he swings his attention back to me. Seriously, let's talk. Should I book an appointment at the tattoo parlor?
Fuck off,
I grumble. The truth is, I really can't answer Saint, because even I don't know what happened. I thought Aspen and I were building something, but then she left and ghosted me, and now we're back to practically being strangers. I hate that. Saint unrolls his silverware from the napkin. I'm not looking for the dirty details, I just want to know what's up with you. You hooked up with Aspen, you guys stayed up there together all summer, and now you're back and your mood is complete crap. I'm here for you. I release a slow exhale and finally look up to meet his concerned gaze. Yeah, I hear you. The truth is, I guess I fell for her.
Shit, really?
I nod. Yeah, but all she wanted was a rebound fling. She's barely talking to me now.
That sucks, he says, shaking his head. I'm sorry, man.
I'm not even sure why I told him. Maybe I'm just tired of pretending this summer didn't happen, tired of lying in bed at night with my phone wishing a message would magically pop up from Aspen. No longer hungry, I pick at my food.
I guess you won.
I don't care about that. I shrug. A bet's a bet. Maybe the piercing pain of a tattoo gun would distract me from the all-encompassing pain in my chest. Saint grins.
Then let's go get this tattoo, bro.
I smile for the first time today.
Yeah? You pick something out for me?
I've got just the thing. When we leave the diner, we drive straight to a nearby tattoo parlor where I get an emoji face with hard eyes tattooed onto my left ass cheek. The sore spot on my ass? It can only be summed up one way. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Chapter 24. Alex. Waking up to over 1,000 tweets, all featuring the hashtag BanishBrawn, is an experience unlike any I've had before. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. With bleary eyes from a night of restless sleep, I read the tabloid headlines. Looks like the prosecution decided to play dirty, and as usual, the press took it and ran with it. Braun sued on sexual harassment accusations. Alex Braun, bad boy or just a bad guy? Braun's harassment victim tells all, her night out turned nightmare. A cold feeling sinks into my skin like an ice bath, freezing my insides. And yet my brain is boiling. I didn't do this, I want to scream. Instead, I sit alone in my house, sulking. I want to call someone, to talk to a teammate or maybe family. But how do I talk about this? Nell wouldn't handle it well. I'm thankful she's not on social media these days, so maybe she hasn't heard yet. I can't trust Saint not to make some kind of joke, even well-intentioned, about the situation. And Aspen, well, Aspen and I aren't exactly on talking terms, are we? My head throbs as I imagine her waking up to this news like I did, her hand flying up to her mouth to cover her gasp. I spiral into worst-case scenarios. Aspen believes the tabloids instead of me. Aspen regrets our time together. Aspen doesn't ever want to see me again. That last one stings the most. I don't realize my hands are shaking until my phone buzzes in my grip. It's Eden. God, it's not even 7 a.m. Regret that I didn't tell her about the lawsuit before it exploded all over social media makes my head throb even more.
Hey. Fucking hey. Get your ass to my office now!
And just like that, Eden hangs up. I toss my phone onto the bed and try to drown out the onslaught of notifications by shutting the bathroom door behind me and cranking the shower knob. After an icy shower, I somehow manage to make myself presentable, and I'm out the door. My heart is racing, but trying to slow my breathing only makes me dizzy. On the drive to the arena, I deal with the unpleasant task of calling my lawyer, Hugh. When I arrive at the office, Eden's door is cracked open, but I knock anyway.
Come in.
Without a greeting, I enter and seat myself across from Eden, who won't look at me. She just stares at her phone, scrolling through what I can only imagine is the wildfire of my already damaged reputation, burning to ash. A minute crawls by in awkward silence. Finally, she meets my gaze. Her eyes are red-rimmed and furious.
What the hell, Alex?
She hisses, switching her dinging phone to silent. I shake my head, feeling lower than I've ever felt before. I'm sorry, Eden.
Want to tell me what the hell I've been reading all morning?
She raises her phone like a gavel. I should have told you.
Oh, so you knew this was happening. Great. Way to blindside me.
Her voice isn't raised in any sense, but the words sting my ears as if she were yelling at the top of her lungs. I deserve that. I'm sorry. Her scowl is pained.
For what?
I take a deep, shaky breath. I'm sorry for not telling you about the lawsuit as soon as I was told about the possibility of it happening. Her scowl falls away, replaced with an anxious frown.
And are you sorry for anything else?
There it is. The doubt. The uncertainty that I'm even half the man she thought I was. I didn't do it, I say firmly. But she's quiet. Her icy attitude toward me stings more than I expected it to. And I need you to believe me, Eden. I wouldn't harass a woman. You know I'm not that guy. She clears her throat.
I'm listening.
The truth comes out earnest and firm, but Eden's expression remains unchanged. What if this was the final deal breaker? What if this is the beginning of the end of my hockey career? Just the thought makes my stomach roll with nausea. I don't even care about my reputation right now. Kick me off the team for all I care. If you need to do that, I would completely understand. But I just need you to know, I need you to believe that I would never...
Okay, Alex,